situation development and speed up the memory bank. So as soon as we're ready, we'll we have a tape, we'd like to play it for you. It involves becoming more aware of how you speed up your intuition and up the memory bank. So when the tape comes on, I'll tell you what to do.
Visual training, we used to use something similar to that to disorganize so we could rebuild.
Yeah. Obviously, the bridge between high senses and intuition would be intellect. The intellect has so many programming and shocks inside of it from childhood that we get locked into this way of a means of clearing it,
disorganizing,
so you can identify yourself. Music is such for the endocrine gland, so while watching it, you're having a visual therapy going on in your body.
Or is there any reason why there's any need to choose? Why is the energy of the flowers is much less
visible? Why do they look alike?
You know, each image in itself, is there any reason why those images are chosen?
She wants to know why those particular images were chosen.
It's not the way they were chosen. It's because all around you is life. And familiarity and non-familiarity is essential to help you. So if you have a new level of speed up, to cope with illness. But if you only function with familiarity, you'd be a very sick person.
so it could have been any set of pictures. They weren't put together for a specific reason.
Well, you're seeing a cross-section of life that you are familiar with. You're familiar with train, or even the word train. You're familiar with the word shop, people, and trees, pottery. They're all thrown together this to make you aware of things that you have stored in your memory banks. And if you saw written words, how many of you identified some of the written words that you saw a lot of written words in them, right there? Do you remember some of them?
Pine.
That's what you saw, but the word is piney. You didn't see the word. See?
The train.
Hmm?
The train. Train.
Train.
Bootleg.
What?
Bootleg.
I see that.
Bootleg.
That's not the whole word. But that's part of the word. Did you see the word store?
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the store?
I like the word pop.
Mm-hmm.
Monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the movie?
Did you see me?
I thought I did.
What else do you think you saw then?
There are other people. I haven't identified them yet.
Good.
Yeah, I found it was so hypnotic watching all those fast images. I kept zonking out. And then I'm coming back and looking again. And then trying to sleep or something like that.
I found the Dharma that as I've watched it for the last few weeks that I see different things that I thought I hadn't seen before.
Uh-huh.
And then I begin, it's what I've experienced over the time I've watched it all the time today, is that I remember things. It's like I'm feeling childhood experiences and things. Like places I've been and things I've seen. In the beginning I didn't have that.
Optical images are familiarity complexes.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to identify through the optical images certain sense of familiarity.
And different emotions also of different days, I feel.
So from your memory bank. You're going to find that things you didn't recognize the first time you saw it, and then again when you see it, there are other things that become obvious to you. So that after a while you're developing a more self-monitoring awareness of yourself.
Also, when I hear the music now, which I'm playing a lot after watching the video, I find that my the music puts me into the space that I am in when I'm watching it. Sometimes a very kind of, I don't know if you call it hypnotic, but kind of almost
the music is synchronized with the endocrine glands to make you conscious of words you have had given to you that may have traumatized you into various optical geometry, so that when you see them played out optically, that particular endocrine gland that might have been traumatized the moment you were spoken to, it will fire it up back. so that you have your own encounter from within you to resolve the anguish from within you. Then you'll notice there's a tendency for the eyes to squint. Depending on which eye wants to squint, that will bring up the trauma for you to face.
Usually my left one.
All right. It'll begin with your dad. Many things our parents say to us when we're growing up that don't register as meaningful images to us, but the impression of those sonics are left in us in such a way that when we do relate to them optically, it comes up very strange. So we have certain tests that we do to test your memory reaction of stress, the words that you might have heard, and ask you to put down it in colors or geometry, and in most cases you surprise yourself with what type of geometry will tell you, describe certain words you've heard while growing up. Take this word for instance, I'll be back. How many times have you heard that growing up?
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what color would you associate it with? And a lot of us have different colors to associate that station.
Green.
Blue.
Yellow.
And it tells the therapist what mental foundation happened depending on the color, because if the person was disappointed or resentful and sick, because growing up when a person says to you, I will be back, you may be so locked in to the association pattern of being fondled and wanting that attention, and then to be suddenly told I'll be back, which automatically sets up separation. In your mind, you may not realize the shock, but when you have to reactivate it as a stress level, that word or statement could be very threatening to you at times, make you feel very resentful or disappointed. And some people it's resentful to hear that I'll be back. Or they may be disappointed, but you don't get enough attention.
So what are the colors? Yellow was mentioned,
green? Well, yeah. Sometimes it would be generate indecision. It may leave the person in a state of indecision.
Is that what yellow is?
Uh-huh.
What about blue?
Blue is disappointing.
Green.
Resentment.
Mm-hmm. Red.
Change. You come to realize that most people who have been in a state of stress level, when certain words were used that caused them to be in that stress, every time they come to realize that stress builds up in them. So, you ever notice if you come to a red light, what it does to you?
Stop.
Huh?
You usually stop.
Yeah, but you've been trained to stop. But do you want to stop?
No,
you're
irritated,
you're disappointed,
you're,
oh no.
See, your own internal mechanics and reactions are going to show certain hostility or acceptance based upon the traumatic action of how you responded to those words. Very funny.
So
how do you take care of changing that response to this word?
You have to accept that your environment is not stationary. It's in constant flux and change. And to expect constancy to function leads to a sort of mental letdown. Therefore, by virtue of how the speed of depictions are presented to you constantly, it is a way to deactivate the brain from a fixation. That's why I made a statement, all life is action. But the next statement is, all action is love. Now, love can be in terms of attachment or non-attachment. And all love is service, self-paid or gratuitous. And all service is now. You have to live it in the moment. All now is freedom. And all freedom is life. Doesn't matter if it's political or whatever it is, it's life. Then all life again is action. There is no point in the entire picture that life ever stopped. Even when it came to the end of the picture, what happened? It disappeared into a series of movable dots, right? And before the picture came on, it made a full circuit of what? To start off from a dot.
I noticed when the picture started, the music started with the picture, but when the picture ended, the music continued after the picture ended. What was the purpose of that?
In the beginning was the what?
Was the word.
And what is word called? Sonic? And the sound will take geometry or meaningful communication. And so was the word or sound, and the word was the God, which is conscious echo. And the word was God. That's the sonic itself in frequency. And the word was their flesh or manifestation. Dwells in man, in the manifestation. Let there be light in the beginning, let there be light. Now, if there is no beginning or beginning, where is in located? Is it located in optics or sonics? In? Can't be located in sonics.
Well, you stated that the sound, sonic came first.
Then pen is where?
Has to be in the sign.
The word was in?
The word was in. Well, in is a word?
Well, where is in the beginning?
Yeah. See, that's what everybody fools themselves in.
You say, where is it? What?
In.
Oh, in. I thought you said in.
In is a word. Do you keep things outside? Mm-hmm. Or you keep things inside?
In.
So, where is it?
Has to be in God.
Huh?
Has to be in God.
Good. Therefore, it's only two letters in the alphabet makes it.
Say what you said again.
Two letters in the alphabet make the word called in.
Right.
Well, where is it located?
In the middle.
Hmm?
In the middle.
In the middle of what?
Yeah.
Didn't there have to be the thought to manifest the sound?
The thought manifests the sound? The thought of what?
The creation. Yeah.
What creation now?
The word.
What word? In is not no manifestation. If in is self-evident, containing for everything that can be contained. It's not even optics. When the man wrote his book and left it to us, we were stuck with the very first word. But all the other words make up the conversation.
The direction.
Hmm?
Would you call it the direction?
Direction.
Mm-hmm.
This will start out in the beginning.
Where would you be in reference to in? If you call in direction.
In a condition.
In a condition?
Is in a condition.
From what standpoint would the observation be made to call it a condition, or to say it is a condition? You'd have to separate yourself to say it's a condition, to assess it. This gentleman read something a while ago. I'd love for him to read it for you, because it's well placed there in a lot of nice agricultural terminology, but it covers exactly what we're talking. Will you read that little data?
I don't have it. You have it?
It's back on that table there.
Could be.
I can't talk that way.
Yes, it's here. Judy, and
no, I thought you folded it and put it away.
Just trying to come.
The end table.
It goes on the table.
You fold it and put it.
I don't know if it's on the table.
It's probably on the end table.
Yeah. They found it. Good. I'm not a good finder.
Reason for our friends here, because it's very, very well presented.
This Sai Baba is in Puttaparthi, India, and he, in part of his talk, he gave this to his students at the college. He said, "My dears, see and be yourself where I see myself in all of you. You are my life, my breath, my soul. You are all my forms. When I love you, I love myself. When you love yourself, you love me. I separated myself from myself so I may be myself. If you are able to understand that, you are able to understand Baba.
Now, stop just there for a second and let it impregnate the brain. To let the comprehensive function of the brain integrate with the word that they're spoken. Okay.
Go ahead, or discuss
take it up.
Okay, all right. I separated myself from myself and became all of this so that I may be myself. I wanted to be myself. That is Ananda Sarupa. That is what I am, and I wanted to be that. And how can I be Ananda Sarupa and Prema Sarupa and get Ananda and give Ananda and get Prema and give prema? And to who am I to give prema, and to whom am I to give Ananda? So I did this. I separated myself from myself and became all this.
Very well put.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is him? Where is it?
Everywhere. It is me and I and everything. Everything is I.
Everything is I. But I is what?
When you say in the beginning, that all hasn't been formed. The in and the I are is God.
And the next letter is? The first letter of the word in is what?
I.
So who is talking to?
Well, in effect, we're talking to ourselves.
Good. And the next letter is what?
In.
And what is that meant? No thickness, no thickness.
There's no thickness.
Good.
Now.
That's when it becomes a manifestation.
Right.
Until it takes a form, in is.
Okay, all right.
I know it blows your brain. But that's the name of the game. We hate to be a victim of our own fixation, only to discover if the necessary means to continue our existence, because we are the eternal I that has no past, no future, but only now. And require all of the now to relate to it. At any moment we lose a sense of now, we stop loving it. Therefore, all we can do is love it. Because we're the embodiment of love. Very difficult to live here with your embodiment, because you always see somebody take advantage of you. But you did it to yourself, nobody took advantage of you. Any that one? And you only have two ways to evaluate it, in and out. In is right now listening to me. Out. Last night when you were sound asleep.
You were talking about sleep in this room last night. Good. And you didn't know if you were a man or a woman in the out state. Still believing you're in the in state before you went away to go into the new kingdom. Very vulnerable, you know. So vulnerable that if your roof blew up a tornado, you'd be pretty well wet. And it may put you away for pneumonia, or pneumonia, or pneumonia. If you wake up, you'd be arguing with it. If you don't wake up, interesting. So, what Baba is saying is in his own agricultural language to make us feel the eternalness of self. But when you thought about it, into guilt-free conceptual formation, you discover a sense of strength that you never knew existed in you. And the sense of strength that exists in you, you see, reality of the atom that provides immortality to function as a force.
Did you say immortality or mortality?
Immortality.
Immortality. Okay.
You are and will always be immortal. But you have to play the game of mortality. Mm-hmm. And you have to play the game of ignorance. That's conversing with your right and left brain to tell yourself you know what is best or worst. This side wants to take this side. I know more. If it wasn't for here, none would fit my work. So when you look in the mirror, after you take a bath, you see what you are. But then you can't go out in the road until you put on the legal hoop. You know the legal hoop? Not the egotistical hood, but the legal hood. So legal hood is accepted for us to differentiate between who and what we are. And then when we get caught up in the egotistical hood and lose the awareness of what we are, then we break down. So the music and the optics challenges us constantly to be aware and not to take sides in the tomorrow or in the yesterday, but to be constantly alert of the moment in the now. So each second of that film in an optical presentation is a challenge to your immunity. So Yogananda asked Yukteswar, when will I find God? And Yukteswar said, I hope you don't look into somebody's skin and shown in some antiseptic part of the universe. But if you can recognize each moment in your daily activity in the most minute detail as being ideal to perform, you have fun going. So we refer to God as the unanticipated avenue joy. Unanticipated because you don't know when it's going to come. Avenue, you never had it before, and it's joy. I only added on one little more statement to it, I call it unrehearsed. The unrehearsed, unanticipated avenue joy. If you can rehearse any split second of your life before you live it, let me know, I've done it. Have you rehearsed this one yet?
No. I try.
Isn't that interesting? So, healthiness is more important than the fixation. So, the more we become conscious of our health as a holistic process, we focus upon what we are instead of who we are. And that is what God realization is. Lord God is Lord Health. And Lord Dollar to serve him. Do they call him Dev or Dollar? So he's the thing. If you look up your dictionary, it says the word dollar comes from the word meaning pain. Interesting phenomenon. The origin of the word dollar. You know Dr. Arrow?
Because it's a pain to earn it. Because it's a pain to earn it.
How interesting these words are.
It's a pain to spend
it. Yeah, you're paying the pain, right. Yeah, but that's what we're faced to look at. Now, to cater to Lord Health, he's not sitting on a throne waiting for us when we die. It's kind of preposterous to ask God to sit on a throne and wait for their people. Doesn't that sound silly? Sit down there and wait for their people. But if he's concerned with living, as Brother Jesus said, my God is a God of the living and not of the dead, then Lord God would be located where? Waiting for us where?
Where we are.
No, you know it.
Right.
Good. He has no place else to do for what? Only got time for you. Because then you don't breathe, it's over for you, but not for him. He's got the whole world of time waiting for you to breathe again. And there was a person in this room, I think, there today, who was saying they had a friend who went to some meeting, telling me that his friend happened to go through some intensive program in 8 days or so, and the person saw their father and their grandfather. Both of these gentlemen are on their cosmic vacation. But this young man went through the process of seeing them, and yet when they came to the young man and told them they haven't gone any place, they're still here, he's seen them in his eyes, yet he's at the point of gasping for breath. And all they can tell him is, breathe. But they wouldn't breathe for him. sincerest thinking on it. Our loved ones and even the great saints in the universe will not be for us. And that includes me too. I've been there for myself. I never found a very beautiful reason. But you look at me in the eyes, breathe, then I know that the God we are looking for is Lord Help. So I call him in a nice Jewish way, Yalte. Right? That's how you pronounce it in Hebrew. H-E-A-L-T-H. Take away the hyphen and you call it what? And if you don't want to be healed, then go to hell. And if you want to stay healed, all right, I'm going to breathe. So Omar Khayyam learned the same thing. He said, I sent my soul onto the invisible. What was the soul? The breath of life that he had. As a gift. And that says that he didn't own breath of life. And a letter of the afterlife is spelled afterlife. You know, the only life he's got, the one he's looking to breathe in. So if he's looking for something after, he's going to be totally surprised now. And he said, by and by my soul came back and said, I myself am heaven of hell. Well, makes you wonder, do you have a soul? Good. Because if you have a soul, it's kind of preposterous to ask your body to save it. So, if you are soul, then soul may mean something more dynamic than what we think it represents. It may actually mean you are living soil. That is a composition of 144 elements that make up the universe, and it's living in the form of a model called manifestation, male or female. So it's unique that this principle has put us together, and all we're trying to confront ourselves through the optical process is to show what surrounds us. But the motion is the uniqueness of it. If it is stationary and stagnant, it wouldn't offer you any luck.
It was stationary, we couldn't see the illusion.
Therefore, motion is necessary for us to appreciate what we are.
And then hit the action.
Yeah. So become more and more conscious of this motion, the deeper the love becomes. And so Baba, they say, he has to disengage in order to appreciate itself as to what he is. And you can recognize that how you do it every day. Right now you are what you are in this room, consciously listening. And when you go to bed at night, when you disengage, you put yourself in a precarious quandary of waking up or not waking up. And how much you tell yourself before you shut it down, what you need for it to be. So most of us, before we shut down, like last night, we did not say we're going to get up today to do what? To see or hear a battle. So you didn't sleep last night, did
you?
it's not that I didn't say that.
No. Whatever you said, force you to wake up. You see, how many of us go to bed without thinking of tomorrow? I just lie down and expect what? To wake up?
No.
Didn't expect to wake up.
I just went to lie down and I was out.
So, the reason we went to lie down. You had the rest from what? What got tired? Your mind got tired or your body got tired? Your body got tired.
Mind
is. Then what they went to rest?
Mind.
But that's providing you breathe. That's provided you breathe. You know, you can be the smartest person in the world and don't breathe when you do.
Make it difficult to get out?
Huh?
To make it difficult to get out?
Well, that's the whole idea. But, so, even Mr. Einstein can't be sitting next to God right now because like, God only knows their people. So you gotta push Mr. Einstein back where? In this a two mug?
Mr. Who?
Two mug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Einstein is one mug.
All right.
Nobody with me?
Why mug?
Einstein, one mug?
Over a joke.
I will eat one stein of beer. You are going to drink two steins at the same time?
About in the cleaning up process, though, I found that sometimes, you know, I don't need a lot of sleep, and then all of a sudden, there's time I just want to sleep. Is that a healing crisis thing?
Yes.
So that's okay.
That's okay. Your body is really the true teacher, but we never related that way because we never had anyone looking at it and referring to it from that level to make us aware to become conscious of what we are. We were always looking for some nameless region, thinking that as the solution, but that only kept reinforcing who we are. And finally, as we realized when we became more and more aware of what actually is going on inside of themselves, they became the models and then left their data for us to experience the understanding of their experience, and we can experience it for ourselves. And the most important experience is very difficult to describe it, but there's only one word that provides some type of consolation for the experience. That word is thanks. Can you explain thanks to yourself? Does it make you feel guilty? Does it make you feel left out?
You say thanks for an appreciation, usually.
Yeah. But
how do you get
does it make you feel indebted?
In effect, yes.
You see, now you're going to put yourself in the boat.
All right. I've been there before.
I said it's the one word that leaves us in such a way that we can't fully express
Well, the Mexicans say de nada. They say thanks for nothing.
Thank you. I think you got the right answer. Because there's nothing you can be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
You can only be thankful for something.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So, gift of breath of life, is it a gift? Is breath of life a gift?
It's
a loan. A loan. See? Then are you thankful or are you indebted to it?
Indebted.
Then pay the tax. Isn't that what Brother Jesus said? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar and render unto God what is God. And then income breath belongs to God. So you have what is called love. If you give back God income breath, what are you be left with?
Will you left with
outcome?
You left with a functioning body.
If you, it's right there the big word lever comes in to be a very important principle called Archimedes. I can move the biggest object if I have the right lever, right?
Right.
Good. It's there where we, the recipient, without our consent, can move the greatest principle in the universe. Let me give back God his breath. Would he be satisfied to be without his creation?
No.
Who would you want? Now I say give it back to him. Yeah, take it back. Will he be satisfied to be without his creation, or what will he want?
He'd want to return. He'd want to return.
Oh, he'd want to give it to you back, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is vulnerable?
We all are.
Who needs who first?
Well, he needs that.
Aha! You see? No, you got the understanding that Paul was talking about. He wasn't interested in the magic no more, of making things materialize, calling them gifts. He was interested in the actual fruit of the Spirit, the real comprehension of why he is Paul and why he must function as Paul. And once he understood within his individuality that he was capable of moving the lever through his own volition, he did what? Give it back or accept it or?
Accept it.
So, Brother Jesus made the same statement. I of myself can do nothing. The Father which is in me doeth everything. Now, the breath provides all the opportunities for action. And without it, the form can do what?
Can't function.
Therefore, if I give back the breath freely, I would be automatically what? Permanently embodied. Because the giver is in more need than the recipient, who had no choice in the matter to start with in the first place.
When you say give back, though, does that mean the exhalation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of us breathe out with the expectancy to get it back.
Right.
How many of us breathe out with no expectancy back? Is that a funny point to be?
So are you saying the loan is paid back every time we breathe out?
Yes. Then what sin do you have?
And we take another loan out when we breathe in. And then we pay it back again?
Yeah.
The average person exchanges only about 60% of what's in the loan. And tries to hang on.
Now you understand that the principle of rendering unto God what is God.
So how do you give the other 40 then?
40. You don't expel your lungs completely.
Is that necessary?
We don't breathe properly.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. We don't breathe properly, or we need to retain.
So, we haven't learned anything new. That is this critical point of total understanding and awareness is the moment you pause between inhalation and exhalation.
Mm-hmm. That's when they say you're closest to God.
That's right. The purest love that can be experienced is in the pause. Now, the worst that can happen to you in that pause, you may fall asleep and don't remember who you are. And the best that can happen to you, you wake up and you're horny all over. Because God will tell you, go forth and multiply. Isn't that what he told the poor spirit when he gave them breath? So you see what breath does to us. Provide hormonal balance in an organism that was in a state of sedation after it was produced by direct manifestation. And what would he give it? Taking it out of that state, which is a low breathing state or a sleep state. What would it do? What would it tell it to do? You could tell it nothing to do more than do what? Go forth, multiply, have dominion, but not own anything. You're right back to where we start. What the body will actually feel or interact. The worst sensation in your body is to shut it down. The most rewarding sensation is what? To intensify, to do what? Make it live. So what is living? Vitation? Now, if you don't tell it to do anything when you turn it on like a brand new computer, what's it going to do? Yes, it is. I know it sounds comical, it's too simple, too obvious, but that's the facts. There's no that in between the zzzz and is the program they call intellect. Tell it what you want to tell it. Do this. I think the reason intellect came in was to get it out of the way, so don't bug him. Well, he buys the kid the computer, and the first thing he looks at it, he plugs it in, and then, okay, so I'm going to play it. And so he just punches it. He gets... So that's what we're looking at all the time. The period in between the two conditions is the only period registered upon us. And that's where we come to realize that all the realized men are telling us that the most important point of reference is to understand that you are permanent and it cannot be revoked if you accept it. The period between the inhalation and the exhalation. And to you is given the key to the kingdom of heaven. That's what Brother Jesus would say. And as many as receive him, that's the pause. To them give he the power to become a permanent expression of his sons of God, even those who believe in him. The moment you can recognize this instant of your structure, of what you are in the fifth.
What about the period of time between the
next generation? That period is the same thing. Because once the wheel starts turning, there is no way to stop it. The inhalation automatically has to disengage something to go into you. And while it's going into you, there's a pause of how long it will stay inside of you. And then exhalation, the disengaging from you, and how long it will stay outside of you before you want to put it back in. So we see that perfection is not a goal. Perfection is a process set up within its own momentum to provide us immortality. Therefore, all creation is perfection. But we, the participant, must be involved in the process of living perfection. That is, be perfect as the Father, which is in heaven. Meaning, we can't arrive at a goal. We are the goal already. We have to learn to enjoy the process within the goal. So, perfection is not a goal. It's a process. But there are many of us who are busy trying to perfect perfection.
So
why?
So what's the significance if the pauses are different? Like you inhale, when you inhale and you exhale,
yeah.
If the pause is longer on the exhalation or longer on the inhale, is there any significance?
Yes, the significance is that you're out of sync.
Well, yes, I realize that.
If you're synchronized, it's equal.
Right.
And equal is equiflow. And it's called homeostasis by the doctor. So your automobile is working on time for the first time. So inhalation, when it's synchronized with the constriction dilation of the input-output of the body, has to be of an equal distribution in an equal time. Otherwise, you'll be considered hyper too fast, or hypo too slow.
But which way?
Which would mean it's coming in too quick and maybe too short. And if it goes out too slow, that's delaying too long. So the
more you are aware, that's what the yogis or the unified conscious individual, that they're called by holy men, recognize that the breathing was the link between stability of health and instability as sickness or disease, because it's called breath of life, meaning we don't have any way to relate to the environment as a physical form until the cord is cut and we breathe in through the nostrils. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen the people as a videotape picture, but it deals with a lot of unusual laws of physics that many of us aren't aware of. And if you're familiar with the what's that lovely little flat object that you buy for Christmas or Thanksgiving and you blow it up, what they call it? It's made out of rubber.
Balloon? Mm-hmm. A balloon?
That's when you blow it up. Before you blow it up, what you call it? Flat balloon? You don't call it a bladder?
Not usually.
Well, that's the actual fact. That's the actual fact. It's a bladder. And then you blow it up into a balloon state.
It's a full bladder full of air.
So it ballooned out. Now, if you tie the tip of it, what would the balloon do? Float. Good. That's exactly what you are, if you know how to regulate your air. You see, the thing is this, you've been taught solid nutrition. Your lungs are 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Where is the balloon? What time of the day is the balloon?
12 hours.
3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the bladder, opposite to the lungs, right?
Yeah.
So now you know why, if you don't know how to breathe properly, you can't balloon up. Now, every heart transplant doesn't die from a lack of bladder, they die from a lack of what?
Kidney,
because they're too busy kidding themselves, right? So the heart gave out at them. So the other heart didn't work because why? They don't match up too good. Funny, but just very good. Your lungs are your best friend. And they will help you to appreciate the other organs better. The more you breathe and the more you look inside, you notice two things happen. One, you have a tendency to breathe slower. And two, you have a tendency to listen more. Well, you're doing the very fundamentals of what is known as clairaudience. There is not telepathy, but there is clairaudience going on all the time. So if somebody says you're reading their mind, you're not reading their mind. Is that the oxygen that is transported between the two of you is carrying data of the other person's mental impressions, and whatever they touch leaves those impressions. In that picture, the people, those who have seen it, the school teacher gave the young boy a harmonica, right? And from the harmonica, he read all her poems.
Oh, I thought everything that had happened around that, the relationship.
Why? Because the person who owned the harmonica to play it
read
into it. Oxygen is the only gas, you know that from solar nutrition, that produces the phenomena called what? Consciousness. There's no other gas will make you conscious. And consciousness only means to cameraize, photograph. It doesn't make you intellectualize. So you can't compare oxygen making you intellectual. It makes you conscious. So the term is, existence is the word sat in the yoga terminology, and chit is the word consciousness, you don't say intellect, and anandam is the word bliss. So they refer to God as existence, consciousness, bliss. Sat, chit, anandam. Very exact. There's no way to fool yourself with the terms. You exist. Therefore, it's impossible for you to be revoked. As 144 elements held together by oxygen to be conscious of it. So existence and consciousness are interrelated right away as elements and gas. For the purpose of friction called bliss, now friction is momentum or movement, motion. You got two hands? Let's do some friction. You're conscious of it, you exist. And when it goes to the point it feels like static electricity, try pulling it away and see how it takes, how it's doing. Now you are that sensation in between the hands. The more you identify with it, the more you are in the unified field. And the unified field has no boundary lines, because energy equals the mass times the velocity of light spirit. By virtue of that, you can be conscious everywhere. So the word omnipresent is valid, omnipotent is valid, omniscient is about it, and you can experience it for yourself, because you are a direct manifestation of the creative principle. But I can't breathe to you. So you have to drive your own car.
Why does it take us so long to get to the awareness of that state? Took you 18 years.
I put it this way. Too soon, wasn't able to use it properly. Too late, there's no need for it. But as soon as you comprehend it, you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, God.
So that's why Paul called it understanding or comprehension. The gift is not the fruit. The actual fruit, the actual quality that is embodied in you as being in control, not as a passenger anymore, but as a driver behind the wheel, is that process.
I know I should have left the juice right next to you.
Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
Seneca is leeching away.
Oh, I thought, well, they did this thing where they ran, I thought something across me, you know, and I thought, and then they said that, you know, I had a moderate case.
Porous bone. But porous what? The calcium minus what? So that's what went out of the body. You're losing your silica because you're not absorbing it properly.
With all the body
fat, well, if you have to add other foods to get it in.
I thought I had a fantastic diet.
Right, you know, actually, you wouldn't have any.
Kind of, what was the name of the star that the solar system goes around? I thought I'd remember. We were talking about last night.
Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, Alpha Centauri.
We have a low reading on the test here as far as hormones go, and yet we still have hormones, plenty of hormones other places. Because I, through the last 3 or 4 years, the past year reading of hormonal, you know, whether they, I guess they can do that, has been going down. On the other hand, I feel like with these drugs I'm taking, I feel like that I'm having an effect from that. But, you know, according to this past year, I'm still going down. Could you have just low in one spot and really have hormones in your blood?
No.
So it would be
before like I go, besides getting your address, I'm going to get my hair brushed out of the back seat of your car. I think I'll let you know. I mean, if I can, I could. I could. Oh, just
if you don't, well, another lifetime. No, sure.
Are you feeling enough?
There's no thing you don't feel like I've got one shoulder blade sticking out on the left side.
Really?
Otherwise,
work it.
And I'm trying all kinds of mental. I said not mental.
Really?
I'm trying to tell myself.
There's no way you can talk this. Equiflow is doing it. He learned it last night. You can't talk it, you gotta do it. And when you do it, it remains with you 24 hours a day.
I did it today.
Right.
I had the feeling like this leg is flopped, this foot is flopped over.
We were checking the bed, and the thing got 8 feet away from me, and she could still feel it.
Yes. That's why you weren't thinking it. You know, know you have to be working with it. There's no room to think in this process.
No?
It's strictly do. See, I've had my years of thinking to find out I got to fall off a building to find out dead people can't think. But living people can act. And so immunity from the standpoint of the research shows how your body acts, not how it thinks. If you want the immunity to work for you, you have to turn it on by acting through the muscle. You gotta feel the muscle. You gotta feel them pulling the bone and directing the correction itself. So you yourself make the correction. Your endorphins make the correction from inside. So it's not a thinking process, it's a doing process. That's why Jesus told the physician, physician, heal yourself. But really he was saying, physics, I can be in control of the cells. So he was saying to the physician, if you look back into his own physics, he can control the immunity of the cell. So this is what the physician had to go back and reevaluate about his own body so that he could be in command of it. You see the way it was written in olden days, the agricultural language made a lot of who's instead of the what. And the more you begin to look at a thing from what it is and not get carried away emotionally, you end up being the recipient of the facts. You're better in better control. Press down on the shoulder, press down the hand, feel it loosening up. There's another, it's a, what you call a super deluxe Charles Atlas technique. Mm-hmm. He calls it dynamic tension.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually integrated tension.
Mm-hmm. But what he taught worked.
Yes, because then it led to what we call isometrics.
Mm-hmm.
But then it never led to the internal patterning.
Right.
But this is the actual next step to it, you see. But the more you become aware of it, the more you begin to understand 14 pounds pressure per square inch on the surface area as the configuration geometry to hold you as a form, which limits the weight displacement conditioning of the mass. So there is no such thing as levitation, but we know there is such a thing as anti-gravitational displacement by the release of the 14.5 pound pressure off the mass by the spacing of the respiration to the input and output of the respiration. This is what the yogis have discovered. But they use the word levitation, and now when the astronauts go into space and they're experiencing lift, they're discovering that their breathing shifts in a strange way to compensate for that displacement in the weight. And the same phenomenon is there in the equiflow. As the body becomes more conscious of the magnetic field around the surface of the chemistry, it displaces it in the respiration, so it lifts itself. So this is why Teresa and all these people were lifting off, because they were more centered on a single thought with an intense diminution of the breathing. The more intense you pray or you feel you're in, reaching what is called intimacy with the idea, the more intimacy you feel for the idea, is the more the breath reduces to create the ballooning or lifting effect.
So the lungs get that more air
right.
With respect to the downward pressure.
That's right. And so it's a deflating off. From the downward pressure to an elevation, so the phenomenon becomes obvious after that. But then it first happens to you, it takes you by surprise, because it doesn't have what is called any gadgetry to regulate the lift. So the sudden lift can take you too fast up. But then after you become more conscious, you lift progressively to your own momentum. And there are a lot of if it was only Oriental, that I'd say, yeah, but I know a lot of Westerners who are doing it in their own home, but they don't go tell the public. That's what I'm talking about. Some of Yogananda's own personal disciples that live in the West doing it and are not boasting about these things, but they're proving it more and more.
But what's the advantage of being able to do that? What is it?
Well, there are many.
It's
not only oneness, there are many things in terms of emergency help to people. If you were out there and you saw someone like a child, they'll do it mostly for a child and an adult. If a child was in danger of hurting himself, they would interface and help the child. So eventually, when we accept more of these phenomena, then people will become more apt to do it in the open. But right now, it's always going to feel you're a weird person.
Right. Yeah.
So most of these people do work with their own children and grandchildren, so they don't know grandpa has some unusual qualities. You know?
My grandpa floats.
See, grandpa buys them Mary Poppins
right.
TV cassette, you know. And they go see grandpa's cassette. Well, that's true, you know. I know a few like that, you know, the kids are saying, my grandpa. You know. But when you begin to see these young people looking at it a little more objective, though, that's what I have to admire, because many of them are questioning into the actual terminology for the scientific understanding, since the computer has come into and their father, mother more involved. So these young boys and girls now don't feel so strange if their pop and mom send them over this weekend of grandpa and grandpa showed them a few odd things, you know. They don't come back feeling much stressed out.
Yeah, right.
They're becoming more conscious about that. There is more going on, and they want to learn more from grandpa.
That's what we're finding with our grandkids. For their, that's what I was bringing them last night, for their age, they were much better than their mom and dad.
Well, yeah, that would be because there's a lot of things that mom and dad would never exposed to the TV, now being exposed to the TV. Well, I know a couple of young kids, they're about 6 or 7, 8 years of age, and the grandfather, the first time when it happened to them, it looked like little Superman, a comic book. But then hang around for a little while, grandpa once in a while would give them a little treat. But he'd always warn them not to go say anything, you know, so they don't say anything. But they're, as they become a little more aware of a lot of things and seeing and hearing it. So it's quite a thrill to see how these young kids are going to relate to these laws of physics. How are you doing?
Sometimes I wonder.